Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. Sacred cow tipping. We will continue on with that as we talk about war. If it was just about defending the so-called homeland, the Heimatland, then why aren't we encouraging every able-bodied American man to participate? If you're gender confused, you have psychological issues, and I think Vivek is well observed that you need help. It's a cry for help. And you know, the irony is that mental illness is the push to disarm. That's the big push behind the scenes, to disarm people. Well, we have all these mentally ill people that are getting their hands on firearms. And at the same time, we are engineering mental illness in a variety of ways in America, including schizophrenia, like I said, you know, double-mindedness. But we call it cognitive dissonance, so it sounds sexy, but it's not. If it was just about defending the so-called homeland, air quotes, because that term was anathema before September 11 and, you know, Rand Corporation's monograph, Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, and the preparatory work that the 9/11 Commission report mentions in the mid to late 90s. Groundwork was being laid. The 9/11 Commission report says so. You know, before there was the PNAC document, there were the plans that were laid that the 9/11 Commission report even mentions. Astounding. Speaking of sacred cow tipping, you mean the same coterie of folks represented in the planning of, you know, things like Operation Northwoods and the, what's it called? The mongoose stuff, you know, and all the things that guys like Fletcher Prouty told us about. That could still happen? Crazy. If it was just about defending the so-called homeland, then why aren't we encouraging every able-bodied American man to participate? Something along the lines of a militia, perhaps? But, you know, now the state has a monopoly on power. And history tells us that's problematic. Now what? So much propaganda. It's amazing what people miss. Even the most obvious stuff. Watch any crime drama. You will see Rand Corporation's iterative prisoner's dilemma played out. You know, game theory. People don't know what it is. They don't see it. But, you know, game theory in every episode. And the iterative prisoner's dilemma. And you also see that the end justifies the means. We are trying to catch criminals, and so we can do it by any means. Season 2 of Jack Reacher is out, and season 3 is already in the works, Alan Richson says. So that's exciting, right? But, you know, you have vigilantism, and by any and all means. He's a good Christian guy who plays a character that's going around murdering people. You know, somewhat indiscriminately, but they're all bad people, so, you know, it's okay. I wonder what this is doing to people's minds. And the idea that the whole bulk of society watching all of these late night crime dramas or whatever are being indoctrinated into the idea that we don't live in a, you know, we don't live in Mayberry. We live in a world where, you know, vigilantism is the order of the day because the end justifies the means. You know, if we're concerned about people, isn't it interesting? If you really want to defend America, then wasn't it Admiral Yamamoto, I think, who said, you know, if we attack, you know, we would awaken the great lion or tiger, I think, because, you know, there's a gun behind every blade of grass in America. That was the famous quote, something along those lines. What happened? And if that were the case today and people were nervous, if somebody was nervous, hey, you know what, we want to make sure that people are properly trained, great, well then let's encourage folks to get together and make sure that they know how to use their firearm. It's interesting that, you know, 50 years ago, there was no problem. Everybody just grew up knowing. It was instilled. It was kind of like, you know, walking, at least in some parts of the country, proper use of a firearm was not even a thing. It was like walking. How do you walk? I don't know. You just put left foot in front of right foot. Now it's complicated, apparently. We could go back. And then, you know, shortly after that, when, you know, the school gets involved in firearm training and we have that happening in the 50s and people say, wasn't that great? Meh, maybe. Some of us grew up in a place and time where the school didn't need to be involved in that or anything else, really, for that matter. Maybe a few specific things. And like Jefferson said, about 3 years was enough to really teach us the three R's. And then what's left after that? You know, we could be as smart as those people. We could be as smart as an eighth grader. Like my great-grandmother, who, you know, gave birth to one of the smartest people I've ever known. And, you know, other folks in my family that, same kind of thing. No fancy formal education. Some of the smartest people I've ever known, I've ever met. How was it possible? And you hear stories about, you know, Uncle so-and-so didn't graduate from high school, ended up getting his GED eventually because, you know, it seemed to be a useful tool. But, you know, no fancy formal education. He ends up running his own thing, being, you know, a scientifically minded guy with lots of patents and inventions and multimillionaire, you know, retired at whatever age, 40 something, and just kind of tinkering. Yeah, exactly. Their lives were focused on things that matter, not the prolonging, the unnatural prolonging of adolescence and childhood, as John Taylor Gatto talked about. You know, creating a permanent professional Pan syndrome class, a nation of adult children, an infantilized society that has to be told what to do. And again, folks like, you know, the Huxleys know this. Aldous Huxley, generational, old school bad guy. Again, from Huxley's Proper Studies, his Proper Studies essay, states function as smoothly as they do because the greater part of the population is not very intelligent. dreads responsibility and desires nothing better than to be told what to do. Provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs, it is perfectly happy to let itself be ruled. That's disappointing, but true. Can you imagine? I mean, I've talked about the Pledge of Allegiance that's really sticking in my craw these days. Why? Because of what it represents. It wasn't just the Pledge of Allegiance. It's not just the Bellamy salute, which is the old Roman salute. It's the transition from a union of several states to a national, you know, a national socialist movement, essentially. Wasn't that the Nazi machine, national social? I wonder where the ideas came from to do that. But it doesn't just stop there. You know, the union of several states was the result of the feigned religious persecution that led to a group of people here trying to do their part to essentially advance the Illuminized six-point cause of, you know, an end to all monarchy and ordered government. We need to, you know, we need to have a constitutional republic. Do you even know what that means? Is it Plato's constitutional republic, perhaps? Provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs, it is perfectly happy to let itself be ruled. I wonder, you know, I would be thrown out of meetings and, you know, there would be a lynch mob that would want to burn me at the stake if I suggested that, you know, I mentioned a gun club meeting. At one of those especially, but, you know, even at the school performances or whatever, if I stood there and held my hand up looking like a good Nazi, everybody'd freak out. What are you doing? It's the Bellamy salute. What do you mean, what am I doing? This is the salute that came with the Pledge of Allegiance from the Fabian Socialists that gave it to us. Francis Bellamy, cousin of Edward Bellamy, looking backward, you know, those guys. I would be thrown out. They'd want to string me up or burn me at the stake. Can you believe this guy? Communist. Yeah, the irony is the communists are the one who would want to do it. Not realizing, you know, speaking of Plato, and in this case his cave, provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs. If you interfere with those cherished beliefs, look out, however erroneous they may be. Astonishing. This is why, when I start thinking about all of this insanity, I think of that scene in Hannibal where Anthony Hopkins is feeding Ray Liotta his own brain, and Liotta is basically saying, oh man, this is delicious. Something smells delicious. What is that? That's where we are in this society. And you see it sometimes in these different movements or whatever, people, groups cannibalizing themselves. You know, it's all fine, and as long as we're going along, don't challenge those or interfere with those cherished beliefs. My goodness, look out if you do. Easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled. And the truth is right out in plain sight. Let's just take the Constitutional Republic stuff at face value. There's that clip we play from time to time. Walter Williams. Now, we can throw that in. You know, Walter Williams said it best, that the person who wanted to get elected based on the principles that established the American founding could not get elected because they won't do what their constituents expect. Simply would not get elected, he said. So we should play that. Let me see if I can grab that real fast. So 5-2, I don't know. Let's see. The truth is staring us right in the face. Sometimes we need to listen. Sometimes it's not a bad idea to listen to paint dry, because then we slow down a little bit. Mitzi and I talked yesterday about some things along these lines. And, you know, we played the clip from Dimitri Christakis' TED Talk. And I think the irony is if you can put two and two together, you know, she asked me about the golf simulator cottage industry is kind of the way I would sort of contextualize it. And if you can put two and two together, so to speak, if you can put together the clip that we played from Dimitri Christakis' TED Talk, which is titled TEDx Rainier, Dimitri Christakis, Media and Children. Just listen to the excerpt that we played. And you listen to that, what he talked about. And there's more. Watch the whole thing. It's short. It's a brief TED Talk. But, you know, he says we are permanently rewiring children's brains by doing this. And, we played the clip, Baby Einstein, Day on the Farm. I'm pretty sure that's not what produced Einstein himself. It's the dumbing down, but that's what you do. You know, if you want to do an evil thing, you call it the Patriot Act. If you want to dumb kids down, you call it Baby Einstein. That's how that works in Machiavellian fashion. So we are allowing, and again, this gets back to the issue of choice. So much of it is discretionary to some extent, not in some crazy, well, I don't want to go to prison for this. How many parents have been convinced along the way, emphasis on the CON, the con, that this kind of thing is a good thing, and that overstimulation, hyperstimulation of young minds is a good thing? Only to discover, oops, listen to Dr. Dimitri Christakis and folks like him that say, actually, that's destroying your child's brain permanently, according to their research. God can do miracles, but yeah, keyword overstimulation. God can do miracles, but, you know, why not do our part? And so you put two and two together, that's the market that you're creating, and then this cottage industry of golf simulator, or is it stimulator? I don't know, maybe it's both. Caters to that new crop of people who don't even realize that they've just been engineered to plug right into the system, almost literally. Stick around, we'll be right back.
There, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease off drop and lift?
What in the world is an ease off drop and lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. You know, listening to Walter Williams talk about his army service sort of reminds me of the story of Steve McQueen, maybe. And there was a turning point. But, you know, strong-willed people who find maybe an appropriate path or outlet, you know, maybe you don't want to be a hammer and maybe everything in life isn't a nail. But I think we all should be more like Walter Williams. Critical thinking isn't a bad thing, especially when you can challenge your own superstitions and taboos, or maybe those that have been foisted upon you, that you know, challenging those cherished beliefs, as Huxley put it in his Proper Studies essay in 1927. So, what do I mean? Well, a little bit from Walter Williams, why the founders did not want a democracy. Can we play that clip, please?
Any politician who would rigorously live up to his oath of office to uphold and defend the United States Constitution, he just would not get elected to office by the American people, because what politicians reflect they reflect the values and views of the American people. That is, those